Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm about to do something I've never done in my life right here on live national radio. And that's take a sip of blueberry coffee right now. We're going to try it. Here we go, Walker.
Blueberry.
I like it. I like blueberry coffee.
Doesn't sound good.
It doesn't? No, I
so
agree with you.
What does it taste like?
Ray?
Yeah, hey.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tip. So is it more coffee or is it more blueberry?
You know, it's a 50-50. It's a 50-50. I like it. We got it available at, did I mention where you can buy it?
You did not.
American Family at the AFA store. Mm-hmm. AFAstore.net. You can order your blueberry coffee, AFAstore.net. It is really good. Walker Wildman needs a formal introduction. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here. Nice opening with the blueberry coffee.
Yeah, it's good. Well, I wanted to do something special today.
I'll have to try some during the break.
You know, every once in a while, you got to break things up, do things a little different so you don't get, you know, complacent, stale.
Right.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Yeah, blueberry. They're good for you. Very healthy.
And yes, they are. I want to comment on that in just a minute. Ray Pritchard joins us from Dallas. Ray, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
You know, I was reading about that, what you're talking about, Fred. And when you get to be over 50 and 54, when you get to be the age where you start words like a cholesterol means something to you, or LDLs and triglycerides, those become a part of your vocabulary.
You start getting the lab results back.
Then you start that's right, Fred. You know what he's talking about, right, don't you?
Oh, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Well, give Walker 20. Give Walker about 30 years, and then he'll be.
He has no clue.
He'll be coming to my nursing home saying, "Dad, I know what you're talking about." But anyway, so I was reading about berries. And berries are wonderful for you. So every week I buy blueberries, blackberries, and strawberries, and eat them twice a day, just for snacks.
Blueberries are fantastic.
Blueberries, yeah,
they're a superfood.
Yeah,
do you eat them? Right.
All the time.
Yeah.
You know, Marlene buys them, and I eat probably 90% of them, you know.
Did you know what you can have too much of, which you wouldn't think, is orange juice? It has much sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you eat a natural orange.
Right.
You know.
That's different. You get the fiber.
Right. But
I know
about
these things, Walker.
You do?
Yeah.
Good.
I read
fiber. We know about fiber.
Because I drink a cup of orange juice either in the morning or at night because of all the vitamins.
Yeah.
But you can drink too much orange
juice. A
lot
of sugar. Now, if you get the pulp orange juice, it's better for you.
Right.
A lot of sugar right there. Absolutely. All right. So there's your health moment for today.
Absolutely.
Here on American Family Radio. And we got a lot to talk about as we hope we would, since it's a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be here for another hour and a half, and we're going to be bringing you the news of the day, hopefully from our goal is to do that from an accurate, truthful manner, and also with a biblical perspective. Dr. Frank Turk will be joining us a little bit later on, as will Sandy Rios, as they typically do on Tuesdays. We look forward to having those two guests on. Fred, what's leading the news today?
Let's start with a little bit of good news.
Okay.
On the recovery from Irma in Florida has begun. For instance, just reported by the Governor Scott down there, that at least 1 million people have got their power back as of this morning. Now, it reached anywhere from 7 to 8 million people without power there for a while Irma was going through. But they're saying now about 1 million have their power back. So we've got a lot of ways to go there. Mm-hmm. But the airports are starting to reopen in Florida. Orlando, Disney World reopened today. So it all depends, you know, I suppose still where you are. We mentioned yesterday Naples got hard hit and the recovery is going to take a while longer there. What we did learn yesterday, and we didn't really talk about this yesterday, has Irma moved further north. The wraparound effect brought high tides and surges into places like Jacksonville. But I don't think we mentioned yesterday, like South Carolina. I just put a video on our site, onenewsnow.com, from Charleston. Beautiful, beautiful city. And there must be 2 to 3 feet of water on some of the major streets there. Because it got affected, the thing that happened to Jacksonville, Florida, affected Charleston. They got this huge surge of water coming in there. So probably more water damage in Charleston than wind damage in particular. So we got to remember those communities.
Yeah.
They haven't really talked about all that much. So with regards to recovery once again.
Okay, before you go to recovery, let me just mention this. I heard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Ray, if you and Walker have heard this, but the Irma could have been a lot worse.
Yes.
Right. And the reason that it wasn't is because when Irma skirted Cuba,
mm-hmm.
and it did so for a long time, it basically sheared off the back half of the hurricane.
Right.
And a bunch of dry air came in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was a half a hurricane,
right?
When it hit Florida, which was bad enough.
Yes,
mm-hmm. bad enough. But that's the reason that the storm surge could have been much worse in Tampa Bay, for example, and some other areas. The storm would have been twice as bad probably had that not happened. So
no question.
You know, I guess it all depends on how you look at it. But Ray, when you have it was a Category 5, and they expected it to be a Category 4 or 5 because it was supposed to re-strengthen through the Florida Straits, that is, between the Keys and Cuba. Well, instead, it hugged the edge of Cuba, and that really helped diminish the strength of the storm.
Well, if you think about it, if the track had been, as it was bouncing along the edge of Cuba, if it had only been, say, 50, 60 miles further to the east, yeah. out over the open water, that shearing effect wouldn't have happened. And the hurricane would have hit
right.
Florida with full force. So just a few miles mm-hmm. made a huge difference in the impact.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a call from one of our listeners in Texas the other day, and this was as Irma was moving closer to Florida. He said, and we kept reporting that, you know, the United States is on alert, Irma's coming. He said, don't forget Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, because they were being smashed hard when we were talking about the warnings for Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the recovery there right now, the U.S. military is very much involved with the recovery, more so than I remember in previous disasters like this. We have Marines that have gone in now to the U.S. Virgin Islands, into Puerto Rico, to help with the recovery. There are several Navy vessels that are offshore in those areas. And if you've seen the pictures from there, I mean, it looks like a bomb exploded.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a carrier that, if it hasn't arrived yet, is on its way for the Keys. The Keys, there's probably 10,000 people at least that stayed there in the Keys, and they're very concerned about those people. So they're going to position a aircraft carrier offshore to mount kind of recovery efforts from that aircraft carrier. So they're involved there. As I said, flights getting back to normal. Atlanta, I think, over the last 48 hours, canceled at least 1,000 flights. Another 200 canceled this morning, but it's now getting back to normal. So we are on this road to recovery and can be thankful. Here's another interesting aspect. Speaking of recovery, there's a Washington Times piece that you can go to, and Walker can probably give us a link on this. Here's the headline, Christians beat FEMA and in so doing tame big government. And where they're talking about faith-based groups, Christian nonprofits specifically, have been busy bees of late, providing more aid to hurricane victims than even FEMA. And it just goes on to talk about the response from 8 Days of Hope. We're very much involved with them. Samaritan's Purse, some of the Southern Baptist groups. They moved in right away, and they're getting credit for doing a lot of the front-end work on recovery right now. So kudos to all these great ministries that are involved with that.
That just shows that private groups, private organizations mm-hmm. who have a vested interest on the ground in this work do much better job at relief and other areas, healthcare, everything else. So that's just a prime example. Is if FEMA's rushing down to get involved, you know, these private and Christian groups are doing a much better job.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't think the federal government will ever understand this and accept it, because they love their role, their big government, big brother, and they get billions of dollars for what they do, mm-hmm. and a lot of salaries, a lot of paychecks. But if we could somehow understand that as a government and invest more in these Christian groups, then we would be much better off.
Yeah, let me just hasten to say that there are a lot of wonderful people who work for the federal government.
Absolutely.
Who work for FEMA, for example. But the problem is the bureaucracy and the red tape.
Right.
Oftentimes that these people have, you know, these folks have to work under. They know they're as frustrated as you are, Walker, watching this a lot of times because the rules and regulations that they have to deal with, not all of which are bad, but anytime you can get a private agency, for example, to go in, they have a lot more freedom to operate. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, are we on Facebook today?
We are. We are live streaming, and I've posted the One News Now story about the aircraft carrier who's working its way to the Florida Keys to assist there in relief efforts.
A aircraft carrier is a whose?
Yeah, the crew.
The crew.
The crew who's working its way, who is working its
ship.
Way to the Florida Keys.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
I didn't know whether you called an aircraft carrier a who.
No, that's a crew.
The crew on the,
yeah.
I got you.
Right, yeah.
I'm following you. I'm following.
Hey, the aircraft carrier is a person too. It's probably named after
that's
a
why
president.
They call them she, right?
Right.
They call them she. So the U.S. aircraft carrier, is that coming from
Norfolk?
Norfolk?
I
and going
so,
down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I posted the story about FEMA and Christian relief groups, the comparison there.
Gotcha. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. But we're going to change topics now with our guest, Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. He joins us now from North Carolina. He is the host of the program Cross Examined on the weekends here on American Family Radio. Frank, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. We're still drying out here in North Carolina. Got plenty of rain here.
Did you? Well, we're getting rain here in northeast Mississippi today. That storm's, but not any wind or anything, but a lot of rain. So a lot of rain there. So that just shows you the size and breadth of that storm that they were talking about, because you go from North Carolina all the way over to Arkansas, I think, Tennessee today.
Yeah, well, you know, Franklin Graham said rain is a blessing from God. Noah didn't think so, though.
Noah begged to differ?
Yeah, he did. Noah said, wait a minute.
Oh, man. I think the people who wanted in the boat were the ones who begged to differ. Noah was pretty well prepared.
Uh-huh.
Frank, you sent me something this morning that was disturbing. It had to do with an actress. We're going to talk about Romans chapter 1 for the next few minutes, okay, mm-hmm. and its application to modern-day society. But you sent me a text with a movie star talking about her abortion.
Yeah, I saw this, and I didn't even know who this woman was until I saw the article. It comes from September 5th, a article at Fox News, and it said this: Goonies star Martha Plimpton says she had her, quote, best abortion, unquote, in Seattle. Now, I did a little research on this woman. It turns out she was in this movie called Goonies, which is over 30 years old, and I guess that was her big break, and she's been in several other movies and Broadway plays and that kind of thing. And she's a big advocate, obviously, of abortion. And in June, she was at this event in Seattle, and this was the tagline or the hashtag for the event, was "Shout Your Abortion." That was the event. And she said she had her best abortion in Seattle when she was 19. Here she is admitting, by the way, she's had several abortions, and somehow she's proud of it and wants other people apparently to have abortions. And this just reminded me of what goes on in Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, and by the way, Hollywood is with the exception of Patricia Heaton, the Everybody Loves Raymond mom, and she's got a new show too.
Yeah,
which I've heard about. I've heard it's funny, but it's she's very pro-life.
That's right.
But vast majority of Hollywood is very pro-abortion. They would call themselves pro-choice. So this woman is in the majority you're talking about, even though she's not a mainstream actress today. But you wanted to talk about why do people celebrate sin, Ray? Well, Frank, you can talk about it, and then Ray, you got the next question for Frank. Go ahead. Why is that? We see that all around us, Frank, people celebrating wrongdoing, even evil.
Yeah, and I think that if there's ever a relevant section of Scripture that speaks to today's culture, it's Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. And I can't read all of it, but Paul talks about how we suppress the truth and unrighteousness to go our own way. We know God exists. We know there's a moral law out there. In fact, the moral law is spoken of in the next chapter, chapter 2. We know there's certain things that are right and wrong. We know God exists because of his creation. We know God by his effects. We see a creation. We know there must be a creator. We have a moral law written on our hearts. We know there must be a moral law giver. Yet we rebel against God, and we suppress the truth because we want to do our own thing. It's not that we don't think there's a God. It's that we don't want there to be a God. We want to go our own way. We want to suppress the truth. And Paul says that when we do this, he says we don't give thanks to God, we don't glorify God, but our thinking becomes futile and our foolish hearts are darkened. And it gets to the point where God will ultimately give us up to our own desires, to the point that we're committing all these shameful sins. And at the very end of this chapter, he says about people who do this, he says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And here's the key verse for this situation, it seems to me. He says, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, it seems that he's saying we want other people, if we're a sinner, we want other people to sin with us to make ourselves feel better. We're not just doing sins ourselves. We want others to do them as well. And I just couldn't help but think about this poor woman who I hope at some point is going to regret this for saying that she had a great abortion in Seattle and now she's celebrating abortions. And the crazy thing at this event, Tim, if you look at it, Ray, if you look at it, when she said she had her best abortion in Seattle and she hinted she had other abortions, they applauded her.
Hmm. Frank, when you look at Romans 1, it's describing exactly as you laid out a process. We men turn away from God. They're without excuse. God gives them over. Then you have the terrible ending there in verse 32. Where are we in the United States? In Romans 1, where are we on that process?
Yeah, well, I guess as a culture, we're really close to verse 32. I just read that we're not just doing evil, we're approving evil. We're cheering it on. And of course, that's not true of everybody, obviously, but it's something that we have to look at in our own hearts too, because we may be engaged in sins and we're blind to it at this point, and we're cheering other people on to do the same thing. I mean, I don't want to just point fingers at Martha Plimpton. I want to point out that this is the human condition for many of us. Mm-hmm. But this is such an overt thing to have somebody at a rally that celebrates abortion and people are cheering it. I mean, look, even if you're so-called pro-abortion or pro-choice, whatever you want to call it, you have to agree that abortion is a tragedy. I mean, even if it's a so-called potential life, and we know it's a real life, but even if you say it's a potential, why would you celebrate ending it?
Yeah, well, I think because of the reasons you mentioned, the scripture bears true here. You know, people, you engage in hardening your heart for so long, so finally you just, God turns you over to a reprobate mind? So to speak?
I think so. I think that's what he's saying. You know, Tim, I always hear people say, well, atheists will say, well, I don't know there's a God. Romans 1 seems to indicate I do know there's a God. I don't know there's a God. I think there is no God. And I say to them, well, at one point you knew there was a God. Because everybody has this intuitive sense that there has to be a creator. There has to be an uncreated creator. There has to be an unmoved mover. You might not know that to be the Christian God, but a God consistent with Christianity. There has to be something that exists, that created all things and sustains all things, who has a moral nature to him. That's why we have this moral law written on our hearts. You knew that at one point. You may have suppressed the truth to such an extent that at this point you don't know that intellectually anymore. You're at the end of Romans 1, but you started at the beginning of Romans 1, just like all of us did.
Wow. Frank, would this apply to not just, say, people here in the West, but we used to talk about the, quote, the heathen in Africa. I mean, really, they're everywhere, but we used to say that. Does the truth of Romans 1 apply as much to, say, some Stone Age tribe back in the jungle that's never had missionaries or never heard the gospel? Does this apply to everybody on planet Earth?
Yeah, I think it does. I think at one point, everybody knows there's a creator. Now, if the Bible teaches that if people take a step toward the information they have, and that's called natural revelation, the fact that we have creation and conscience, if people take a step toward the light they have, God will get them more light to be saved. But if they turn away from the light they have, then more light isn't their solution. God is not going to give them more light because they don't even want the light they already have. So, yes, I think it applies to everyone. Now, this does not mean that everybody knows that the God of the Bible exists, but they know that there's a creator consistent with the God of the Bible who exists. Now, we may suppress that to go our own way, and God, since he's loving, will actually give us up to our own desires. I mean, that's what a loving being does. He pursues to the point where he knows it's useless, and then he lets people go. And that's what this is talking about. God will let you go and give you up because you don't want him.
Yeah, the other thing is, Ray, what you're talking about, and Frank, and we got about 2 minutes left here, is you're talking about Romans chapter 1, where God gives people up to a reprobate mind because they turn, you know, they insist on in their sin. Called good evil and evil good. The other thing about that is they develop a real hostility, I've noticed, for the people of God, or Christians. We're like the enemy of these people, even though, you know, I don't get up in the morning and hate them or want to be their enemy. Still, Frank, why do they have such a mockery attitude, if that's a word, that's a way to phrase that?
Well, I think Augustine put it this way. We love the truth when it enlightens us. We hate the truth when it convicts us. Mm. In other words, if you're reminding somebody of the fact that they're suppressing the truth and going their own way, and they don't want you to do that, they want to keep going the direction they're going, they're going to get mad at you. Mm. I mean, Paul says we're the smell of death to people who are perishing because you're a reminder that what they're doing is suppressing the truth, and they right. don't like that. I mean, from a military perspective, for military people out there, you always get more flack when you're over the target. Why is that? If you're telling somebody the truth that they don't want to hear, they get mad at you.
Mm-hmm. You go, yeah.
Well, even why though, is that?
And why is that? It's really irrational in many ways because oftentimes these people say God doesn't exist or it has no relevance to our lives here on planet Earth, and yet they get mad at us for believing in Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, they're trying to say that. They're trying to say that. But the reason they're saying that is because they know in their hearts that what right. you're trying to do and the American Family Association is trying to do is trying to steer people back to the truth, and they don't want the truth. They want to go their own way. And it's interesting, this lady Martha Plimpton, who we just started talking about, actually believes in all sorts of abortion rights and transgender rights and gay rights and all these things. But look, if there's no God, there's no right to anything. I mean, if there's no standard of goodness outside of ourselves,
yeah.
then you can't say there's a right to anything, including abortion rights or anything yeah. else. That's why they have to steal from God in order to argue against it.
If you want to hear Dr. Frank Turek this weekend without Tim Wildman interrupting him, you can tune in. And where can they tune in? What time do you come on our radio network?
That would be 10:05 Eastern, 9:05 Central, right here in the American Family Radio Network.
Dr. Frank Turek, cross-examine, what's your website?
Crossexamined.org, cross-examined with a D on the end of it, .org. And don't forget, I'm going to be with Tony Perkins this weekend down in Baton Rouge. So
yes.
Hope to see some folks down
where?
There at
what
Tony's
church?
Event. That's at a church right outside of Baton Rouge. It's on our website, crossexamine.org. Don't have it in front of me right now.
A lot of our speakers, a lot of our AFR folks are
Yeah, Alex
be there.
McFarlane will be there. There's others too, yeah.
All right, see you later, Frank.
All right, God bless you guys. See you.
We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Politics is not going to get it. All too often we think that the political answers are the answers. But to be quite frank, it's easy to lean on the arm of politics when we've become kind of stagnant and cold in our spiritual walk with the Lord.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I know the first time I ever went to Israel, you land there in Tel Aviv, you get off the plane, you get out on the bus, you start driving through the plains of Sharon outside of Tel Aviv, and you just pinch yourself and you just say, am I really here? Am I really in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible? Or was this just a fairy tale I read about as a child? No, it's a real place. The Bible is true historically and, as we know, spiritually. So if you want to join us on this trip to the place where you pinch yourself, we're going in March 8th through the 16th. All the information is available at the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. If you want a free brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES. Option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. There's a lot of hollering about the Hallelujah Chorus in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. At least two parents complained after a teacher played a portion of Handel's famous music composition in the classroom. It happened at Linden Elementary School. The Hallelujah Chorus is traditionally played at Easter and Christmas and does include references to the Bible. Well, that's a problem for the local chapter of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They sent a letter to the district warning the song is not suitable for broadcasting, in part because they say it could be considered proselytizing. The school district tells the Oak Ridger newspaper they strongly disagree with the atheist, and they've turned the matter over to their attorney. By the way, there are no reports of any children spontaneously converting after hearing the Hallelujah Chorus. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. American Family Radio, 184 stations across the country. I think we're back on the air on all of our stations except Victoria, Texas. We have we had antenna damage there during the
Victoria or Corvus
hurricane.
Was it Victoria?
I think so.
Okay.
During the Hurricane Harvey situation there, but I think we're back on the air on all our Georgia stations in Jacksonville, Florida. Even though they were off the air for a while, like everybody's power was off for a while, but these power companies are just amazing. And by the way, I was reading comments last night on our Today's Issues Facebook page. And, in fact, people, power company personnel are coming from, as we always do as Americans, help each other out from all over the country to Florida and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some people say, hey, some trucks are leaving from Illinois and Indiana and Kansas and
there was a description some lady was talking about this morning in Florida. She said she saw hundreds of power company trucks coming down the one of them, Interstate 75, those areas.
Probably from Ohio or Pennsylvania, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. That's the way it, and the way they, whoever organizes all that is
that's just amazing.
Yeah, it's just amazing. But to have power back on already in one,
at least
quarter of the places that were out.
Exactly.
I was at a family gathering over the weekend and spoke to a family member who is a flight attendant for Delta. She's been working for them for 25 years. And she said that this was Saturday. They were calling all Delta employees into work immediately because they need all the resources to fly these folks who are from Florida back into Florida.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks left via car or airline, and they're putting thousands of flights back into Florida, into South Florida.
Yep.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the program. We have a Today's Issues Facebook page, which we're live video streaming there. So check that out, Today's Issues Facebook. Thank you for watching and listening there. Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us today, as he normally does on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News, is here as well. So Walker, Tim, Fred, and Ray. Sandy Rios is going to be on with us momentarily. She's on now. Sandy joins us. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim, and everybody.
Hey, Sandy, wanted to talk to you. I'll just speak for everybody when I say good morning back to you.
No, I want to hear from everybody.
Yeah,
we don't have to hear
four voices saying good morning back to you.
Here.
That's right, present. Hey, Sandy, I wanted to ask you about you're personal friends, I guess it's fair to say, with Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Is that right?
I don't think that's an overstatement.
Okay.
I mean, we don't go do lunch.
Right. But you've known each other for a long time.
Yes.
And he is well-respected in our movement, that is a pro-family conservative movement in America, and has been for a long time, just a fine Christian gentleman from Alabama, now serving as Attorney General of the United States, and I believe is the most important cabinet position that is there. For what the issues that we care about, with the exception possibly of Neil Gorsuch, but that's about a tie, quite frankly. But I want to ask you, the Justice Department, under the direction of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, just announced that they were going to, they've sided with the Christian Baker in Colorado, in his fight for religious freedom. You know, he's the one,
Jack Phillips, Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Okay, he's the one who said, I cannot, like others have done, Baron Stetsman and others, he said, I'm a Christian, and I cannot, in good conscience, bake a cake for a homosexual wedding ceremony. Gays come in and buy cupcakes or buy cakes from him or cookies or whatever, he's no problem. I can't be a part of a celebration of something I consider that violates my religious conscience. Well, the Justice Department, I was a little bit surprised to see this, Sandy, under the direction of Attorney General Sessions, sided with Jack Phillips.
Absolutely. You know, well, I have to say, Tim, I'm not terribly surprised. I think there is a mixed review coming out of Justice right now. You might recall that last week, J. Christian Adams brought it to our attention that there was a pastor in Northern Virginia who was being forced by the Justice Department, the same Justice Department, to turn over all correspondence with something like 15, a list of 15 people, to turn over everything he'd written and said about Islam. This pastor wasn't even party to a lawsuit, not part of any kind of thing. They just heard that in that county where they wanted to build a mosque, there was opposition, so they were sniffing around. And they sent this terrible subpoena to this pastor, frightening, really. And J. Christian Adams wrote about it, and almost within 24 hours, it was rescinded. And so as I talked with Christian, he explained what I already know, and I've heard this in so many different ways, that the Attorney General is overwhelmed. You know, there are 1,000 attorneys, employees in the Civil Rights Division alone in justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no way, because there haven't been enough people appointed, and because Barack Obama and Eric Holder and the last one whose name escapes me in this moment, the most recent—
Loretta Lynch
stuffed the department with really leftist liberal activists. All that to say, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just speculating that Attorney General Sessions heard about this one too, and I think this is probably the direct result of his ability to reach out at least on some critical cases and to rein this thing in. So I'm very grateful. And of course, that doesn't mean Jack Phillips is going to have a good result at the Supreme Court. You know that.
No, and he's being defended by the Alliance Defending Freedom group, which we're good friends with and know those folks very well. They'll do an excellent job representing him at the Supreme Court level. But it's just refreshing to not have the federal government coming after Christians, as they were doing under the Obama administration.
Well, remember, Tim, think of the direct almost a direct correlation. It was Barack Obama's Justice Department that ordered Justice not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, which was signed by both houses of Congress, signed into law by President Clinton, actually. That was the first time ever in my life, and I think before my life, that a president, executive branch, ordered his Justice Department to undermine and not defend a rightfully passed law by both houses and signed by a president. So that was the war we were facing. So that kind of gives you an idea of what a change this is, that Justice would weigh in on behalf of Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop. I think it's really notable. I'm glad we're pointing this out to people.
Sandy, it's Fred here, and I think it's going to take a while for the Attorney General to clean up that Civil Rights Division, because these are the same group of lawyers that, remember, even though the police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, was found not guilty of doing anything wrong, they still sent that team in there to punish the police department in Ferguson. I think the Civil Rights Division led the opposition to police departments in this country. I mean, there are a bunch of rogue lawyers, quite frankly. And I think there's obviously what we saw in this, the demand on this pastor. That whole case reminded me of what happened down in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Remember when the sermon notes were subpoenaed by the mayor of Houston, Texas? I mean, we shook our heads in disbelief. What country are we living in when we can have a Justice Department that says, we want to read your sermons. We want to see, and then in this case in New Jersey with the pastors, they simply were speaking in concern about what with regards to the mosque that they wanted to build there. And now, of course, we want to know what you've ever said about negative about Islam, because we're going to hold it against you. Now, that's draconian. Where is the First Amendment?
Yeah, and here's this one pastor in this small area of Northern Virginia. By the way, that's right in our listening area. It's right where our biggest signal is.
Culpeper Station.
Culpeper Station. It's probably Winchester, too, but it's the pastor in Culpeper.
Mm.
So maybe a listener of American Family Radio. I don't know. I hope so. But can you imagine getting a letter like that from the Justice Department? It just shows you how helpless we are if the government gets out of control. They will roll over us. And by the way, I was just trying to find this as we were talking. It just came to my attention yesterday, I think. The New York Times did an article on several Justice Department attorneys resigning because they were being forced to rewrite President Trump's orders that the transgender policy in the military be changed. And they were refusing to rewrite it, so they resigned. So there's an upside. Maybe there's four down and, 1,500 to go. I don't know.
Yeah. But we need to remember this, just what you pointed out a couple of minutes ago, Sandy, because with the Trump administration, it seems to be two steps forward, one step back, but at least there's two steps forward in many respects. And if you sometimes wonder why is something taking place that doesn't seem consistent maybe with the promises that the president made during the campaign, it's because now some fault may lie with him and his administration. Maybe they changed their opinion about something. But at the same time, you got to remember that he is under constant siege from the Democrats, from the GOP establishment, from the liberal mainstream media. It is relentless from the globalist, from
from his family.
From inside. So, I mean, he is under a siege. In fact, I talked to a gentleman recently who I won't name his name, who told me that he told the president that you men not realize it or not, But you are the target of an axis of evil.
Yeah.
Basically, what's going on here? So, for example, you mentioned Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Well, he is the Attorney General. He had a battle to get that position. He is Attorney General. But he goes into office. All those hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, I don't know how many people work for the Justice Department there in Washington, D.C. and across the country, but certainly in D.C. And I go by the Justice Department building a lot when I'm in D.C. All those people who work there, most of them are holdovers from the last 8 years of the Obama administration. So Attorney General Sessions, he may have the correct worldview and understanding of the Constitution, but he's having to he's being undermined, most likely, by people under him.
Right.
And so if you wonder, why aren't things moving as fast as they should, or why doesn't this happen or that happen? Imagine going to work 8 to 5 every day, and you're having to worry about who the what your subordinates are doing to undermine your own worldview. Ray, go ahead on this.
Well, Sandy, just on that point, what practically can the Attorney General do? I'm assuming of these 1,000 lawyers in the Civil Rights Division, they're not all appointed or approved by Congress. How do you go about getting rid of these, I guess, career lawyers from your own department? I'm asking, he can't just fire, or wouldn't fire, just 1,000 people at once. How does that process even work to get your people in those positions?
Well, let me just say, give you some practical answer. There were 113,543. There were, as of 2012, employees at the Justice Department.
Wow.
Just to give this some context. I'm not an expert on this, Ray, but I do know something. There are these are civil servants, and there are civil servant laws that that govern what can and cannot happen. Some are political appointees and some are career employees, and the rules are different for them. But my understanding from friends who are working on this is that there are ways to do this. And I've heard suggestions like reassign them, you know, send them to, Outer Mongolia, you know, or put them in the lobby at a desk and give them nothing to do. These things have been done actually to other, I think of Phil Haney. Phil Haney was with Homeland Security, and he was one of us in terms of his view of what was happening, and he was so mistreated, and his files disappeared and all his research, and they ended up putting him in a room by himself with a computer with nothing to do. And so that happened to Phil, and it's legal. There are things that could take place. There are ways. And so I just have to tell you, there are efforts underway to try to encourage the attorney and help equip him so that he can go about this in the right way, and maybe some legislation, if they can get congressional help. Because, look, one of the reasons that Attorney General Sessions is in this position is because Congress is not doing its job. You know, the people under Sessions and the various U.S. attorneys around the country are still not in place. And that's an arm of the Justice Department as well. Every state has a U.S. attorney. And so it's just been this whole thing of obstructing from the Never Trumpers, the establishment Republicans, of course the Democrats and the leftists, and sometimes the family.
And one other thing about that, I don't feel like the Republicans are doing enough. People may say, duh, Tim, and get ready to say duh if you'd like to. But I don't think the Republican establishment, the Republicans in Congress, are doing enough to help President Trump move his administration along or his agenda along. They are themselves being subtly obstructionist in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. The situation in the Senate. Well, the Senate is the Democrats can use this procedure, this to drag out the hearings or the votes on federal judge appointments by the president. They can draw that out. I don't know, like months.
Right.
Right. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they can draw that out for one judge, Mm-hmm. And so the Republicans could stop that. Stop that stuff from happening if they wanted to, the Republicans in the Senate. Also, you got the 60-vote threshold to meet, which President Trump has tweeted about 4 times now, the so-called filibuster, rule, which demands that you have 60 votes to pass anything in the Senate. Well, that's never going to happen. Never going to happen, is it, Sandy?
Well, not if Mitch McConnell has his way.
No, so and Mitch McConnell, but to my point, Mitch McConnell and the Republicans who are in favor of the 60-vote rule, they're in favor of nothing getting done. How else do you read that?
Right. Well, it's just the closer you get to D.C., the more you see it, Tim. And I know you guys have...
Right.
You guys have altered. I know you thought I was like this horrible naysayer when I used to be, but now you're seeing. And I think
Debbie Downer is what I called you.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? I think most of America is beginning to see what we were trying
right.
to say
yeah.
In D.C. is that they're not on our side. And I would also point out, remember that the Senate remained technically in session during the recess so that Donald Trump could not make any recess appointments. I think that's one of the most egregious things they've done.
Right.
And it was Mitch McConnell. Who else can you blame?
No.
And you noticed in Steve Bannon's interview with Charlie Rose on Sunday night, one of the first things that Steve said was when they first met with Mitch McConnell after the election, Mitch said to them, forget that draining the swamp business.
Yeah.
Forget the draining the swamp. He didn't like to hear that.
No, that's his instruction to them. You know, right. just stop talking about it. Stop that business. You know,
well, when you're king of the swamp.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. Sandy, thanks for being on with us.
You're welcome.
Sandy, heard each morning here on American Family Radio from 7:05 to 8:00 Central Time. Each morning here, Monday through Friday, on American Family Radio with her program, Sandy Rios in the Morning. And then Sandy also helps serve the Ministry of AFA as Director of Governmental Affairs. So she's our liaison to the swamp. And, all right, thank you, Sandy.
I'm the anti-swamp. You're welcome.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Sandy.
That's a bumper sticker.
What's that?
The anti-swamp.
That's good.
You know, to go back to this Justice Department situation and to confirm what Sandy said, and I was baffled to hear that, the Justice Department in 2012, the latest numbers, had 113,000 employees.
That's incredible.
That's almost as much as Microsoft. Microsoft in 2012 had 120,000 employees, almost as much as Microsoft. But to go to what we're talking about, things being slow getting done in D.C., not just with Congress, they're not doing anything, but these federal agencies that are doing some things, they're just doing them slowly. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has 113,000 employees. Below him, their default position on virtually everything is liberal.
Mm-hmm.
They're Obama holdovers.
Yeah.
So their default position is to side with the Democrats and the liberals and the lefties on every issue. So what he has to do is Attorney General Sessions and his chief of staff have to go to these folks
right.
in their office and say,
you do this.
You better write a brief in favor
right.
of the baker in Colorado or you're going to be fired.
Yeah.
And that's the only way they get things done.
That's right.
And it takes years to get these folks out to where the default position is conservative and constitutional.
That's right. You know, President Barack Obama had 8 years to make the transition in the Justice Department. This is why Harry Reid, forget about the filibuster rule, remember that? We're going to get federal judges appointed. What do they appoint? 300 federal judges while President
Obama administration?
The Obama administration. Yeah. Harry Reid said, we're doing away. 50 vote. And they shoved through all of these federal judges, which were paying the price for that.
They were ACLU types, too.
All the way. And this is why, you know, give credit to the Democrats for having the right strategy. If you want to make change, you just got to go at it like a bull.
Yeah.
And no apologies. This is our time. We won the election. We won the White House. We got the House. We got the Senate. We're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to do what they promised the American mm-hmm. people to do. And this is why it gets so frustrating when you have people like Mitch McConnell and you have Paul Ryan, which Steve Bannon pointed out in that interview Sunday with Charlie Rose. This is the problem. This is the big battle that President Donald Trump is facing within his own party. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever say to yourself, sometimes it seems like the Democrats do politics better than the Republicans do? Mm. I mean, we seem to be good at issuing position papers, right? Having conferences, cruise ship conferences. Mm-hmm. But if you ask, who really gets down and dirty? in the trenches. I think maybe the Democrats play this game much better than Republicans.
You know why that is, Ray? It's because the Democrats actually believe in what they say. They campaign on things like single payer, and they genuinely in their heart believe that that's the best way to go, and they'll do anything to get that done.
Yeah.
But the Republicans campaign on stuff that gets them elected, but they don't necessarily
believe in it.
Right. Also, the Republicans many of the Republicans are afraid of the media.
Yeah.
And it is true that the media most of the media is going to be opposed to you and against you. That is true. So that is a fear that has a founding, if you want to say, or a substance to it. That's not no denying that. But in order to get anything accomplished, I think this is what President Trump has shown, and sometimes he can show it in ways that aren't necessarily civil. but nonetheless, I think the attraction to President Trump is that he's a street fighter.
Yep.
And so you mentioned getting down and dirty. He will get down and dirty. I jokingly mentioned to many of our staff here in our meeting we had about President Trump when he became president, I said, now, we want President Trump stands for a lot of the same things we do here, and he's been on the record saying so. Now, we just need to hope that he doesn't exhibit too many fruits of the spirit too early on. We need him to wait about that, because right now we need to fight like a dog.
Real danger so far on that front. I mean, I think
I don't want him forgiving Chuck Schumer, or turning the other cheek to Nancy Pelosi right now. I don't want that. I want somebody who's going to fight for what we believe in. I think people know how I'm talking about that.
Right.
But it is a very serious situation. And I did notice that President Ray, the president's polling numbers were up to 47%.
Right.
So he is on the rebound a little bit, seems to me. The economy doesn't get much attention by the liberal press.
Well, they don't want to talk about it because it's doing so well.
It's doing extremely well. Who knows what the hits that the economy might take because of the hurricanes.
Right.
But, you know, I heard somebody saying with the hurricanes, you get a lot of damage and so forth. The economy will be temporarily hurt, but then you got all the rebuilding that's going to help the economy.
We did a story on that this morning. From Texas alone, and now with Florida, they're probably going to be 1 million cars have to be replaced.
Wow.
So GM and Ford, you know, quietly celebrate after all of this. And then you've got the lumber.
I bet Home Depot and Lowe's stocks going through the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good pun. That was a great, and I didn't even plan that. I just said it. It came naturally. Did you get it, Ray?
No, I didn't. Say it again what you just said.
I said that Home Depot and Lowe's stock's probably going through the roof.
And then you have to replace that roof.
Then you got to replace the roof. That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
Boom.
You got all those, really and truly, there's going to be a lot of jobs created as a result.
Well, just think about this. The estimate for recovery in federal dollars being used in Texas alone, this estimate came out, $190 billion.
Wow.
Right.
That's $190 billion going into the economy
to
rebuild just Texas. Now you got to add Florida to that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
I saw a funny, maybe I can put this on our Facebook page if I can find it again. I saw a funny cartoon yesterday. It wasn't really a cartoon, but it was somebody's quoting Al Gore from 2007, and he was saying hurricanes are going to increase in number and intensify. And then it had 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Got to 2017, and it said, I told you so. Because we haven't had a major hurricane hit the continental United States in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we do have two hit that it caused a lot of damage, and all of a sudden Al Gore was right.
Yeah, he wakes up
about global warming. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.